I want to make everyone aware of the new duties and the officers of our board and trustees. We, you voted, not ratified, but you voted on these men and women to be our board of trustees. So for the benefit of those that are here, our board of trustee chairman is John Alcantara. So John, will you please stand? All right. And Alicia Watkins, she is our vice chairwoman. She's taking the kids somewhere. All right. We have Dwayne Engelbrecht, who is the secretary, and Kit Roberts, who is the treasurer, who's with Karen Roberts doing the, so those are the, those are the ones who are doing the executive positions. Also, William Brewer is also, he's a member there, so I'm not forgetting him, but those are the ones, those are the positions that these individuals are have assumed. I would be remorseful in my duties if I didn't acknowledge, I want to do this morning, acknowledge DJ Roberts for preparing and installing the new computer with hardware and software for Palmer Church of God to be ready for the onboarding of the new platform we'll be launching, hopefully by the end of this month. He's been in here all week putting things together, so we're still kind of troubleshooting. We've done as much as he could throughout the week, but we're live, and so I just want to say thank you, DJ Roberts, for all that you've done, that you continue to do. So there's a lot of people who are doing a lot of things behind the scenes, and I just want to bring them to your attention. All right. So anyway, this morning's, what I want to share with you is will you be a stretcher bearer? Last month, I was invited to be a part of a small group focusing our attention on the book of Mark using Right Now Media, which is accessible to all of you here. That resource is available to you. And so this last week, we as we came together, we zoomed in on the second chapter of Mark. This account is also found in Matthew, but I kind of favor the account in Mark. It's a little bit more descriptive in what took place. So if you will, go ahead and turn your Bibles or your tablets and that to Mark, the second chapter, verses 1 through 2. And this morning, I will be reading from the NLT, and I really know where it's at. There we go. Mark the second chapter, verses 1 and 2, and it reads, "And when Jesus returned to Capernaum several days later, the news spread quickly that he was back home. Soon the house where he was staying was so packed with visitors that there was no more room, even outside of the door, while he was preaching God's word to them. Four men arrived carrying a paralyzed man on a mat. They couldn't bring him to Jesus because of the crowd, so they dug a hole through the roof above his head. Then they lowered the man on his mat right down in front of Jesus. Seeing their faith, Jesus said to the paralyzed man, 'My child, your sins are forgiven.' But some of the teachers of religious law who were sitting there thought to themselves, 'What is he saying? This is blasphemy. Only God can forgive this.' Jesus knew immediately what they were thinking, so he asked them, 'Why do you question this in your hearts? Is it easier to say to the paralyzed man, your sins are forgiven, or stand up, pick up your mat and walk. So I will prove to you that the Son of Man has the authority on earth to forgive sins. Then Jesus turned to the paralyzed man and said, stand up, pick up your mat, and go home. And the man jumped up, grabbed his mat, and walked out through the stunned onlookers. They were all amazed and praised God, exclaiming, "We've never seen anything like this before." Heavenly Father, this morning, your children are gathered here to worship you in song and in word. And Father, I pray what is shared this morning will not only touch the minds and hearts here, but that this word shared here this morning would be a call to action. That we would just not be hearers of your word, but doers of your word. In your name I pray. Amen. From time to time, we see someone on a gurney, as maybe in a hospital, you see someone on a hospital and we see them being taken, or maybe from someone's home, they're being taken to the hospital. When we see this, we sort of have kind of some sympathy for those individuals, right? We're seeing them on that stretcher, not knowing what's going on in their lives, but they need help. When we see this, we know the people are going to be taken to where they can get help. It's not often that you'll ever see a person on a stretcher going in the wrong direction, but they're usually going to the right place. They're going to where the help is. We have gone through quite a few things in the last few years. We've gone through a pandemic that has all different types of pandemics, if you will. There's been the social, the political, and the physical. And already, we're already into the second month of 2023, and we have balloons flying overhead. They're not birthday balloons. That there's some problems that are still going on with people, and they may be waiting for time to take care of it. But the years just keep clicking away. What we need today are stretcher bearers. People who have hope, faith, love, and a willingness to work. If I could name those four stretcher bearers that lowered the paralytic down, their names would be faith, hope, love, and work. These men were deeply concerned about their friend, and they wanted to see him get help. They believed that Jesus could help them. And suppose the one in the stretcher was a family member or a friend, maybe even a stranger, but suppose what was in the stretcher was the church. Would you be a stretcher bearer? I want you to hear these words this morning, because we're gonna do something bigger than ourselves. And I've talked with the board of trustees, and we're moving forward on this. We're getting together. But we want to be not just a small church, but a healthy, strong church. I want us to be healthy. Size to me has never been a thing. I know it is with a lot of people, but for me, it's not. As I shared with the Board of Trustees and with the men's group who met yesterday, I'd rather have 10 people who are 10 foot deep than 100 people that are 150. I have to be careful how I say this. God wants people that who are deep. And he doesn't want Christians to stay in the shallow end. Okay, so let me just put it that way. You see, these stretcher bearers, they didn't just simply pray about it, but they had to work right there, and they wanted to help. They didn't permit the difficulty of the situation and the circumstances there to discourage them from doing what they know that needed to be done. It would have definitely been easier for them just to say, man, there are a lot of people, and today is not the day to try to get our friend to see Jesus. Maybe tomorrow. I want you to know what Jesus did, all right? I want you to look at the situation. First of all, Jesus, he looked down. He saw the man lying there on that mat, and the first thing Jesus did was address the immediate need. The heart of the whole problem, he looked down and he said, I forgive you of your sin. Jesus forgives him of sin. Why? Because forgiveness meets the greatest need, costs the greatest price, and brings the greatest blessing with long-lasting results. Secondly, he looked around and he saw the critics who came to spy on him. These people never came with open minds or open hearts. They just wanted to see what they could, if they could get some dirt on Jesus. They came with critical hearts and critical minds. They wanted to trap him. Jesus gave him a front row seat. He said, I want my naysayers. I want them to be up front. And he looked within and he gave them something to ponder. Which is easier? This is just Jesus showing his awesomeness. He's like, which is it easier for me to do? To forgive a man of his sin or to heal him? And he's saying, okay, so I'm just going to make sure you understand who I am. I am the Son of the Living God. Okay, so check this out, Pharisees. Get up. Take your mat and go home. And he didn't just do it. He did this not only in front of his friends, but more importantly, his enemies. I don't know. For me, I can imagine it. I really can. Just this room packed with people, and Jesus is like right here, and there's a hole in the roof. I'm glad there's no hole in the roof. But all of a sudden, this paralytic, this person who's paralyzed, just gets up. Peace out. As he's walking home, what I want us to focus on this morning is the four men who brought that man to Jesus. These are the people we should want to be here at Palmer Church of God. If we can just be those men in just a few things, how great our Heavenly Father will bless this congregation and its area here, this community, in big things. And if you're not going to be one of these people mentioned here, as General Charles Stevenson would say, you've been a pew potato today, and you'll probably be a pew potato tomorrow because you were a pew potato last year. Lots of people are like these four men, but still they're different. Plenty have faith, love, hope, and work, but they love to do other things, and and have faith that somebody else will do them. Hope nobody will ask them to do it. And will work really hard at avoiding being asked to do anything. So let's look at these four stretcher bearers, all right? The first one, let's call him Mr. Faith. He believes God can do anything. Sometimes Mr. Faith can be somewhat annoying. Either he will tell you that God is going to take care of it, or that God has already done it. You know that annoying faith person? Oh, don't worry about it. God's got this. Oh, and you know what? He's going to do this. That's Mr. Faith. And Satan hates this guy. He tries to discourage him all the time, but he can't do it. He tries to confuse him, but he can't. He tries to complicate him, but never has. Mr. Faith is just a simple man, and he's not afraid to jump. He's not afraid to jump. He's like, okay, I have faith in God, and so let's do this. With no understanding whatsoever of the details. He's like, say, it's got to be done, so let's go. That's Mr. Faith. He believes it because God said it. Mr. Faith has a little song that he's singing all the time. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. That's the song that Mr. Faithfulness sings. But everybody knows that this person doesn't just get everything they want. But they say God gives Mr. Faithful what he needs. And sometimes he gives Mr. Faithful what he wants. Mr. Faith begins each day by doing some strange exercises. This man or woman begins by letting go of their own understanding and stretching out on the promises of God. And never takes a deep breath or clenches his fists or bites his tongue or lip. Mr. Attitude has an attitude of trust or bust. That's it. Trust or bust. And he's very busted. Mrs. Faith once said, if somebody could shake him, she would get another kind. But she has been with him ever since she met him and said she will never find another one like him. But he has one of those fellows who believes in Jesus. He believes in Jesus. He believes Jesus can take care. Mr. Faithful believes that stretcher bearer believes that if I have faith in Jesus, I know that Jesus can heal him. So that's why he brought him. The second stretcher bearer is Mr. Hope. Now, Mr. Hope is much like Mr. Faith. They must have grown up together. They have seen a lot of the same things. Mr. Hope said, he has seen God do so many things for him in other situations that he knows that he couldn't do by himself, that he couldn't do on his own. Mr. Hope is a strange kind of a fellow. He must be real strong because the Bible writers said he was like an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. They said that what made him that way was he knew it was impossible for God to lie. God doesn't know how to lie. It's impossible for him. So whatever God said to Mr. Hope, he knew it would be there. Mr. Hope must be a popular guy because there are lots of false hopes running around trying to pretend they are a part of the real Mr. Hope. trying to be a part of Mr. Hope's family. But he has a sure way of exposing them. First of all, he tells them face to face, there is a way in which seemeth right unto man, but in the end, therefore, is death. You see, Mr. Hope's way is life, not death. Mr. Hope never depends on something he can do, but on what God can do and what God has done. You see, some have the thought in the past that Mr. Hope is blind and that Mr. Hope can't see, but Mr. Hope sees what God has done and even bases his name on God's promises. And only in those does he depend. In fact, even Mr. Hope has a little song that he sings that makes the devil mad. It irritates Satan. He sings, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Then he goes on to say, on Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. Satan is like, get away with me, get away from me with that. I don't want to hear that. And quit singing it. And singing it with passion. You act like you mean those words, Mr. Hope. Even Peter the apostle, the disciple, right? Knew Mr. Hope. He said he would know him in the end. Mr. Hope knew if he could get his friend to Jesus, he'd be much more better. If I could get him there, he'd be more better. Thirdly, Mr. Love. Oh, Mr. Love. As your pastor, I've got to warn you about this fellow, Mr. Love. He can make you do some strange things. He can make you act on a lot of different things than you're used to doing. This fellow, if you hang around with him, will have you doing things for people. In fact, this guy has been known to make some people actually sick. Not physically sick, but in a good way. But he doesn't say a whole lot, this Mr. Love. He stays busy. He stays busy. In fact, Mr. Love said that if he can't do the things that people need to do, then they're a waste of time. Ouch. Mr. Love said that if people had all the gifts and gave things to the poor, or even if they could move mountains, if they had that mustard seed faith, and you didn't do it, what a waste of time. Mr. Love, the stretcher bearer, is a strange character to some people, just to say the least. He is kind. He's kind of described there in that book of Corinthians. You might catch this. Because Mr. Love, he never gets puffed up. And he's kind. Mr. Love is patient. He never gets stirred up and never wants something for himself. This fellow is happy when some... This fellow is never happy when somebody messes up. He's like, ha, 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 look at you! Mr. Love isn't like that. But the thing about it is, when they do right, Mr. Love is saying, hey, let's have a party. Let's have a party. I think Mr. Love was carrying this stretcher. He was carrying this stretcher. And I believe that he was carrying most of the load, because I read where he bears all things. Does that sound familiar? Love bears all things, believes all things, hopeth in all things, endureth all things. In fact, Paul knew this guy, and he said he would never fail this Mr. Love. And out of all those I have told you about, Paul said, what does Paul say about love? It's the greatest of all. Okay. Last stretcher bearer. His name is Mr. Work. All right. His name is Mr. Work. As important as all the others, Mr. Work seems to be the backbone of this quartet. Mr. Faith, Mr. Hope, and Mr. Love could have the greatest ideas in the world, but without Mr. Work, ideas and good intentions, they go nowhere without Mr. Work. You hear that? You can have Mr. Love, Mr. Hope, and Mr. Faith. But without Mr. Work, it's not going to get done. In fact, Mr. Work hangs around so much with the other three that it's hard to tell them apart. But he is his own self. Mr. Work is there showing people what others are trying to say. Whatever he says, he backs. Whatever the other three says, he backs them up. Whatever needs to be done, he's the one who volunteers. What needs to be done? Hello, Mr. Work. But he will be the first one to tell you that he takes orders from the other three. He's not doing this on his own. He listens to the other three and he acts on that. In fact, he works so close with the other three. If he wasn't working with the other three, especially Mr. Hope or Mr. Faith, because he said, without faith, you'd be dead. Mr. Work is the most visible of the quartet. He may be the biggest or the most colorful. I don't know. I just know that when these three show up, Mr. Work is always there. In fact, he doesn't come with them. He does not come with them. If he doesn't come with them, let me say that. If he's not with them, be careful. The others aren't who they say they are. Come on. Let me quote. Anytime one of these three comes up to you and introduces themselves as Mr. Faith, Mr. Hope, Mr. Love, if Mr. Work isn't with them, it isn't them. Don't believe them. They are the wrong ones to follow. Mr. Work always, always hangs out with the others. In fact, he was the one who told the others they could take this man to Jesus. They knew Jesus could help the man, but Mr. Work is the one who talked the others into doing it. So here are the stretcher bearers, a great group of guys, and I wonder. I wonder who in here, those who are listening, will be a stretcher bearer. Who will be a part of that team? Because I will tell you, church, not just Palmer Church, but I'll tell you, church, we need all of those four elements. We all need to have faith and hope and love. And the attitude of saying, it's got to get done, so let's work together in getting it done. And so, church, I'm asking you, I'm pleading. I'm begging you to be not distant in this effort in making this a healthy church. Will you be that stretcher bearer? I have faith, hope, and love that you will want to work in doing that. Heavenly Father, this morning, man, how awesome you are. And Father, wherever we may find ourselves, I pray we are people would look at us and say, you're one of those stretcher bearers. Look at you. You always have faith and hope and love and your willingness to express the love of Jesus Christ is so noticeable. Father, I pray that those who are part of this family would take a corner of that stretcher and be a lifter. In your name I pray. Amen.